Quarter city of Euclidia is being deserted. One at a time, just as fast as they can come up through the surface airlock, the Euclidians are coming aboard the Gregory boat and going to their quarters below the deck. Mrs. Gregory has chartered this small steamer, which is large enough to safely accommodate the Euclidians, and plans to take them back to the United States, where they will be placed in a scientific colony established for them there, and allowed to continue their work under guard. In the radio cabin of the boat, Mrs. Gregory and Joan have been getting weather reports in preparation for their 4,000-mile trip back to Los Angeles.
It is well along into the afternoon, Mother.
Yes, Joan, dear. Nearly 4 o'clock. That steady parade of Euclidians has been coming up over the side and going below since daylight this morning.
They look very strange, do they not? I can realize that since I have been your world. I should not like to go back to those drab uniforms of Euclidean cloth and that cold, hard, scientific manner of living.
That's all over now, Joan. And our adventures will soon be over. We'll live quietly at my home in Los Angeles, and you'll go to school with Jerry.
Jerry says I know too much to go to school, but I do not agree with him. I believe I should go to school, if only to learn to behave exactly as others in your world do.
Yes, that will have value to you. And the association with other young people, boys and girls near your own age, will provide a lot of fun for you.
It will seem strange, but very nice to live your life.
Hello there.
Come in, Jerry.
And will you please close the door?
Oh, sure. But I wanted to keep an eye on those Euclidians.
I'm sorry, Jerry, but I'm a little nervous. For 7 or 8 hours now, I've heard those feet shuffling past this door. Watch those shapeless uniforms and the dull, leaden faces of the Euclidians.
Yeah. Well, I guess it would get kind of sort of tiresome.
Just listen a moment, Jerry.
Golly, they do get on your nerves. Don't sound their shuffling feet. I'll close the door.
Oh, thanks, Jerry. That's better.
Oh, gee, Mrs. Gregory, you're all upset about this thing.
Mother is not accustomed to being in charge of a boat with 250 prisoners on board.
Oh, sure, but the danger's all over now.
I hope you're right, Jerry. But a 4,000-mile trip with a boatload of Euclidians seems to offer plenty of opportunity for trouble.
They're not going to do anything. There's no fight left in that bunch.
I feel that that is correct, Jerry. Never have I seen anyone look so hopeless.
You know, I think most of them are glad it's happened. I guess they weren't any too happy on Euclidia.
That was the idea Tex and I had when we agreed to this wild plan of trying to capture 250 people and take them home on an ordinary boat.
I heard some of the leading scientists say that they would welcome the opportunity of working under better conditions.
They're an amazing crowd of people, thinking nothing but scientific advancement, willing to be taken prisoner, to live anywhere and to work anywhere, just so they're allowed to work on their inventions and discoveries.
Yeah, and I'll bet you that we'll never have a bit of trouble with them after we put them in that place you bought.
They'll have plenty of room, at least. And the buildings and equipment are good. It was a very complete little college a few years ago.
But, Mother, why should a college be forced to close? Is there no one who wants to learn?
Well, plenty of them. But they want to learn in the big colleges with the best football teams.
Football? Do they attend the higher institutions of learning to study football?
Oh, lots of them do.
But I thought football was a form of recreation, a game.
It is, Joan, dear. But football is also the magnet which draws thousands of students to the larger schools annually.
How strange.
Well, maybe. But I like it all right.
Jerry.
Want me?
Captain.
Gotta run along, Jerry. Tex wants you.
Okay. Hey. Well, looks like that's about the end of the Euclidean parade.
Oh.
That was the last of them, Skipper?
Then we might go out on deck, Mother.
Not yet, Joan. Tex asked us to stay here, and we'll stay until he tells us to come out.
Oh, okay. See you later.
Oh, thank goodness that's all over.
And now, all that we have to do is sail home.
Yes, that's all. Just a little 4,000-mile trip.
It will not prove difficult, I think.
Well, we've done our part, Joan. We've got all the weather reports the land stations can give us. And it looks like fair weather all the way home.
May I come in, Mrs. Gregory?
Of course you may, Elaine. Sit down here.
Thank you.
You must be very tired.
I am tired, but tired with the satisfaction of a task well performed.
And Euclidians are all aboard?
Why, Yes? Yes, they're all aboard.
Elaine, has anything happened?
Nothing. The transfer has been without incident.
But you... you hesitated before you answered, Mother.
I am sorry. I did not mean to hesitate.
Something is wrong, Elaine. Hex, Jerry?
They are quite all right. I believe the captain suffered a disappointment, but he will tell you about it.
What sort of disappointment could it be?
If Tex wants us to wait for his explanation, we'll have to wait for it. It can't be anything very serious.
Mother, is that not the signal to start?
So soon? Well, yes. The engines are gathering speed, and the boat is beginning to move.
Oh, we're underway.
I thought it would not be long. The captain gave orders to the three men who are to remain in the underwater city with the animals until another boat arrived to take them off.
Who stayed, Elaine?
Two members of your crew and the engineer, Mr. McLeod.
Mr. McLeod will be with his pigs once more.
I'll bet Mac didn't like that job any too well.
He volunteered for it, and the captain thought an engineer should be in charge.
And after the cattle, birds, and chickens are taken out of the city?
Then it is to be flooded and destroyed.
It seems a waste of splendid effort to ruin that beautiful city. The Euclideans have spent more than 10 years building parts of it.
I know that, Elaine. But its existence would cause trouble. Trouble between nations as to who would claim it. And trouble among men for its scientific treasures.
I believe you are right, Mother. It will be better so.
Oh, Tex, it's really over?
Yes, Pat. All over, I hope.
You hope?
Elaine.
Yes, Captain?
I hate to ask you to do anything more until you get some rest, but you're the only one who can do this with any degree of certainty.
That is quite all right, Captain.
You go and join Jerry at the stern hatch. He'll explain what it is you have to do and report to me as soon as you finish.
Surely, Captain. Whatever it is, we will let you know the result at once.
Thanks, Elaine. I promise you can sleep after that.
Tex, what's all this mystery?
Oh, probably nothing, Pat. I'm not sure yet.
You are worried, Captain Bradford?
Well, not exactly worried, but I'm a little disturbed about something.
Well, what is it, Tex?
D-47 has disappeared.
What? D-47?
Right.
You mean he didn't come aboard?
At least I didn't see him come aboard.
Then he's hiding down in Euclidea, and we've put off without him.
But that would be dangerous.
It would, but I don't think that's what's happened.
What else could it be, Tex?
D-47 doesn't tell all he knows to anyone. He might have a trick or two up his sleeve.
Where do you think he is, Captain?
On board this boat.
But you just said,
Tex, didn't see him come aboard, and I didn't. Or at least, I didn't recognize him.
But what would be his object in disguising himself?
No telling, but I've got an idea he's on board.
Wouldn't one of the other chief scientists know?
Probably, but they wouldn't talk to me. I tried to get some news out of three of them. Thales, Cheops, and Octavo. They merely said they didn't know where he was.
Do you think it's possible he might have hidden somewhere in Euclidea?
Yes, Mother. That is quite possible.
Oh, Tex, those three men you left down there. They'd be helpless in G-47's hands.
I thought of that. But for some reason, I'm not afraid of it. There's more to G-47's disappearance than a simple hiding trick.
But what could it be?
That I don't know.
Was that the errand on which you sent Jerry and Elaine?
Yes. Elaine would be able to recognize G-47 if she was looking for a disguise. And Jerry will probably say the wrong thing and make some Euclidean so angry that they'll tell him what he wants to know.
I could have helped them, Captain.
I know it, Joan, but I thought it best to keep you out of there. Some of the Euclideans may feel that you and your mother started all this trouble for them when we went searching for you long ago. I think it's just as well if you don't go down into their quarters.
I agree with you, Tex. And I think that should mean for the entire voyage.
By all means.
Very well. If you wish it.
Ahoy, the boat. McLeod to Captain Bradford. Ahoy, the boat there.
Tex, it's Mac.
Didn't take him long to get down to that Euclidean radio
ahoy,
and figure out how
boat.
To work it.
This is McLeod. Can you hear me?
Hello, Mac. This is Tex. How did you find everything?
Those men left everything in perfect condition. We'll do very nicely until you get another boat down here.
Good for you, Mac. Now remember that if anything happens, you can use that small submarine in the lower lock. I took all my solvent away from that lock. And in an emergency, get out of there with your crew and start along the course to Los Angeles.
Nothing is going to happen. We'll take care of things. And now I must get along and feed the pigs. Good luck to you all.
Good luck, Mac, and don't take any chances. Well, that's the last we'll hear from Mackin sometime.
Mr. McLeod is a fine man.
He certainly is. And Mac is the only man who could go into that underground city with two companions and calmly set about feeding the pigs while he begins a 30-day wait.
Will it take so long to get another boat to him?
The kind of boat we'll need to take out several hundred animals and birds won't be any speedboat.
Well, here we are.
And?
Nothing.
No sign of G-47?
He is not among the Euclideans. Then where is he?
We don't know. And I don't think the Euclideans know either.
But they must. No.
I believe not.
What's it all about, Elaine?
Staley seemed willing enough to talk, and I feel that he was speaking the truth. He has absolutely no idea of G-47's whereabouts.
Well, this certainly puts us in a fine position.
Yeah, with that guy running loose in the world, well, it won't be long until another of these crazy colonies will be springing up someplace.
That is right, dearie.
Tex, can't we do anything about it?
Apparently not. What else did Staley say?
Well, he claims that T-47 disappeared right after we left in that rocket plane.
But what could he use for transportation?
I can't figure it. Those submarine locks were still magnetized when we got back.
And he could not take a boat out through that small surface lock.
Not any boat we saw there. But G-47 didn't tell the rest of the scientists all his tricks. Well, I could tell from the way they acted, G-47 was just about as mysterious to them as he was to us.
Well, he's gone. And there's nothing we can do about it. At least we have the rest of his colony. And G-47 is only one man. It will take him a long time to build another magic island or another Euclidean.
Nevertheless, Tex, I'd feel a great deal more comfortable if he were safely locked in the hold with the rest of them.
Yeah, so would I. But we can't help it.
I believe I will go to my cabin and rest, if I may.
Go to it, Elaine. You've helped a lot. And when we get home, we'll try to repay you.
I had hoped to promise you a world without any more fear of G-47, but I can't promise that now.
No, Mother. I am sure we will hear from G-47 again.